Praise God. God is good. So we've been talking the last few weeks about praying in the Spirit. And we're going to touch just a little bit on what we've talked about the last couple weeks about some of the benefits of praying in the Spirit, being filled with the Holy Spirit. But if you miss those, go back. It would help you to go back and listen to the first couple, because we can't recap that. We're not going to recap everything. We spent a good amount of time there, but we'll go on and look at some scriptures in Acts, some examples of this. But real quick, we'll recap a little bit. Romans, we'll just put these up quickly. Romans 8, 26 and 27. Romans 8, 26 and 27, it says, "Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God." So we don't know always what we should pray for as we ought. We are limited in this earth, in this, you know, body, natural mind. We don't know everything that's coming up that we need to pray for. We don't know everything in our own lives. We don't know everything in our children's lives. But God does, and He can lead us and guide us to pray in line with His Spirit. And one of the ways we can do that is by praying out in the Spirit, in other tongues. Your mind doesn't know what's going on. Your mind doesn't know what you're praying. But the Spirit of God will pray through you according to the will of God. We can pray out things that bypass our minds. It's an amazing thing. 1 Corinthians 14:2. Again, we're going to go through these pretty quick. "For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men but to God, for no one understands him." So don't be surprised. You say, "What is that? I don't understand what you're saying." Well, the Bible says that. Don't let your mind get in the way. It says, "However, in the Spirit he speaks mysteries." We speak mysteries in the Spirit. "He who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men but to God, for no one understands him. However, in the Spirit he speaks mysteries." Not mysteries to God, but mysteries to us. But we're speaking things out. When you're praying in a tongue, speak in a tongue, you speak mysteries. 1 Corinthians 14:14, it says, "For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays." See, we're not praying out of our head. We're praying out of our heart, our spirit. "If I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful." So like we said, it's okay. Your mind doesn't understand what's going on. The Bible says it won't. I mean, unless it will be illuminated, you can believe that you'll get directed. I mean, you can be praying in other tongues. You can be directed. And illumination can come up to your mind from your spirit. You can know what to do. You can see certain things. You know, you just know, you have a sense. Well, that comes up through your heart, illuminates your mind. But when you're praying, your mind isn't necessarily going, "Oh yeah, I know what's going on." That's okay. 1 Corinthians 14:14 in the Amplified says, "For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit by the Holy Spirit within me prays, but my mind is unproductive, it bears no fruit, and it helps nobody." So it's okay. Well, my mind doesn't know. You know, you can be praying and your mind says, "What are we doing here?" That's what you have to be disciplined with your mind. Your mind, it's normal if you're praying other tongues for your mind to try to wander. Okay? You can find yourself falling asleep. That's not abnormal. In fact, praying in tongues is a good way to go to sleep. You know, because you get at peace. But, you know, it's what you do with those things. We need to... Just because they're there doesn't mean we're doing anything wrong. We just need to know we live in a body, we have a mind. Your mind is unfruitful, and we need to keep it disciplined. 1 Corinthians 14:15 says, "What is the conclusion then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will also pray with understanding." So it's not one or the other. We pray what we know out of the Word. We pray when we know about situations, but we can pray also in the Spirit. Note, and before he said, "For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays." So we're talking about praying in other tongues, but also pray with understanding. And you can also be led then by the Spirit as you're praying out in other tongues to know what you should pray in English. It's a good way to pray. So I will sing with the Spirit. I will also sing with understanding. 1 Corinthians 14:18 says, I thank my God that I speak with tongues more than you all. Paul wrote this. So Paul spoke in tongues. Paul wrote, you know, a good chunk of the New Testament, the epistles, and he spoke in other tongues all the time. So we can pray out mysteries in the Spirit. We can pray out things that are unknown to us, but known to God. We can pray out from our spirit. Then also we can build ourselves up. Jude 20 says, but you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. We build ourselves up. It's like charging a battery when you're praying in other tongues. It's like charging your spirit. When you feel drained spiritually, it's a good thing. Build yourself up. Pray in other tongues. You're yielding to your spirit. When we do that, you got to shut. We just read, your mind is unfruitful, so you have to ignore your mind. Your flesh doesn't want to do it. Your flesh's not jumping up and down. Let's go pray in tongues. So automatically when you're doing it, you are yielding to your spirit. You're saying, mind, shut up, and body, no, we're going to do this. And so you're automatically yielding to your spirit. Well, you're building yourself up. 1 Corinthians 14:4 says, he who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. That word edify means to build up, to embolden. So we're building ourselves up when we're speaking in other tongues. So we talked about those things in more detail. You can go back and listen to those first two messages. But we barely got into some things last week. We're going to continue and just start looking at examples in the gospel and then gospels and then in the Acts. But can we put up Mark 16:14? Mark 16:14. This is an important thing. It's very, very important. Being filled with the Spirit, with the evidence of speaking in tongues, that's the evidence that you've been filled. We're going to see that more. It's the initial evidence, I should say. It's vital to the way we're supposed to live our lives as Christians. We read that Paul spoke in tongues, he said, more than you all. He was talking to a church. And he said, more than you all, I speak in tongues more than you all. Well, look at the fruit in his life. And we're going to see Jesus did not consider this secondary. He did speak about it, and he said, do not go on with the work that you're going to do until you get this. Mark 16:14 says, later he appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table, and he rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. So these are signs that will follow those who believe. You go back to verse 17. It says, in my name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. These are all signs that will follow those who believe. Verse 17 says, they will speak with new tongues. This is something that is part of what we ought to have as Christians. Acts 1, verse 4. Who read this last week? Acts 1, verse 4. So this is again Jesus. You can go ahead and turn over there because we're going to just go make our way through Acts. So go ahead and turn to Acts 1 verse 4. says, and being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Verse 7, and he said to them, it is... Okay, verse 8. Let's skip verse 8. He's talking about some other things. Skip to verse 8. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. Now, these disciples, they're already born again. Jesus has risen. They're born again. They've believed on him. But Jesus said, go back to verse 4, please. It says, and being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. So they're born again, and he said, wait. Don't go out. Don't go yet. Wait for the promise of the Father, which you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Verse 8, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, and in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses. So you shall receive power, and then you shall be. Then you're going to. They're going to be witnesses. So he didn't say just go out. You know, the good news is here. Get out there. He said wait. So this isn't secondary. This is something that's primary. Now go over to Acts 2, verse 1, please. Acts 2, verse 1. It says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Now, so they're in the upper room. And just wanted to show you this. I didn't give you the scripture, but could you go to Acts 1:12? We'll put up Acts 1:12, 13 and 14. So right before this, in between the verses we read in 1:4 and then the verses we're reading, it says Jesus ascended. So he's talking to him and he goes up into heaven and he leaves him. It says, then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. And when they had entered, they went up into the upper room where they were staying, Peter, James, John, and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas the son of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. So all the disciples are there. The women, Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his disciples. And right after that, it says, in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples. Altogether, the number of names was about 120, and said, now, these are disciples, right? They're born again, right? Jesus has ascended. They're waiting, okay? So they're all there, and they're waiting. They're doing what Jesus told them to do. They're all with one in one accord. They're praying, but they're in this upper room, all the disciples, all the women, Mary. So then skip down to chapter 2, verse 1. It says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. So these same people. They're still there. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, Didn't say it was fire. It says as a fire. And one sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So Jesus told them, wait, don't go start telling everybody, wait in the upper room, you know, wait here. They were in the upper room, all of them were there, they were all together. He said, don't go out until you've received power. He said, when the Holy Spirit's come upon you, you will receive power. And so this is telling us what happened then. Go back to verse 2. It says, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as a fire, and one sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues. Notice they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and there was an outward evidence. They began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance, like we saw in Corinthians. You speak in tongue, my spirit prays. And the Amplified says, my spirit by the Holy Spirit within me prays. Your spirit's praying, it's the Holy Spirit that's giving your spirit unction, and you're praying out. Now, the Holy Spirit doesn't come on you and control your mouth. God does not control you, God leads. He gives you unction, but the Bible says in another place that the spirit of the prophets are subject to the prophets in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians. We control our faculties. The devil tries to possess people, tries to overtake them and force them. That's devilish. God does not do that. Some people have the idea that praying in other tongues, God's just going to come and make you do something. He won't make you do anything. He doesn't make people bow the knee to Jesus. They will bow eventually, but on this earth, they're not made to bow. God has given men a free will, and He does not push Himself on us, but we yield to Him. So He'll give us an urge. He'll give us unction, but it's up to us to yield. Well, that's what's going on here. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, we're just going to keep going. We're going to go through some different examples. Let's go down to Acts 8:4. In that last verse, it said that they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Every one of them received. Acts 8, verse 4, it says, therefore those who were scattered, we'll read 4. Therefore those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. So notice Philip went down to Samaria and he preached Christ to them. He preached the gospel. He preached the good news to them. And the multitudes with one accord heeded the things which spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. Side note, we read in Mark, these signs shall follow those that believe. Notice, Philip is speaking the word. And the word is being backed up by miracles that he's doing. And that's what they were heeding. Now, he was an evangelist. And he's had it was more prominent in the ministry. The Bible says believers, these signs will follow believers, but it's more prominent in that ministry. It says, for unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many who were possessed, and many who were paralyzed and lame were healed, and there was great joy in that city. So verse 6 had said, the multitudes with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip. What's he preaching? He's preaching Christ. He's preaching the gospel, right? And they heeded it. They're listening to it. So skip down to verse 12. It says, "But when they believed Philip, as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized." So they believed Philip. Concerning the things he preached, concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, and both men and women were baptized. So they heeded the things. What is he preaching? He's preaching Christ. He's preaching the gospel. They heeded it, and men and women were baptized. Now go to verse 14. "Now when the apostles were at Jerusalem, when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God," they received the word of God, they received the gospel, "they sent Peter and John to them, who, when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit." Now notice this. Those people already received the gospel. Because Philip preached Christ to them. And they had received and they were baptized. So then the apostles heard that they had received the word of God. They sent Peter and John to them, who, when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. So this is a separate experience. And we're going to see this over and over. We saw it with the disciples in the upper room. They were with Jesus. Jesus is risen. He goes up in the clouds right after he gets done talking to them. But he said, wait till you're endued with power. Okay, they're already born again. This isn't, yes, the Holy Spirit, when we're born again, There is a work of the Holy Spirit, but this is a separate. This is being filled, baptized in the Holy Spirit. This is a separate experience. We're going to see it multiple times in this account of Acts. And Philip preached to them the gospel. Now, this is the beginning of the church. This is the early church. The church is just starting and learning. But they sent Peter and John to them. Well, just in experience, you know, I've heard accounts and I've seen you see people are anointed, more or less anointed, to do certain things. Now, this is right at the beginning. But they sent Peter and John to them for them to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, you can, can you put this up in the New King James so we're looking at the same thing? Acts 14 through 19. So there are people that are more anointed to, you know, I've heard accounts. Everybody they pray for to get filled with the Holy Spirit gets filled with the Holy Spirit. Now it's up to the person to receive, but there's a more of an anointing there. You know, certain people are anointed more in the area of healing. Or, you know, anointed in different areas of healing. And there's different things. So Peter and John going to them, you know, Philip could have been talking to him about these things as well. But separately, they sent Peter and John to them. And when they came down, they prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. Verse 16. Can you go to Acts 8, verse 16? And we'll just put it, if you can put it up in the New King James. It says, "For they as yet he had fallen upon none of them. So they came down and prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet he had fallen on none of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus." Notice that. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. God, the Holy Spirit had not come upon them. Were they born again? Absolutely. But this is a separate experience. Verse 17. Then they laid hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. Doesn't mean they weren't born again. This is a different experience. Now notice this, because you can see this in multiple times. People were prayed for, and then there was an evidence. Now here, it doesn't mention it directly, but look at what happened. Verse 18, we saw in Acts 2:4, where they were all filled with the Spirit, and they began to speak with other tongues. Here, it says that they laid hands on them. Can you go back to verse 17? They laid hands on them and they received. It says they did receive. Okay, look at the next verse. And when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money. What did he see? If it's just, well, you know, he laid hands on them and said, okay, there, you're filled with the Holy Spirit. What did Simon see? Simon saw something that through the laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Spirit was given. There had to be an outward manifestation. Well, we're going to see in other places, it's not a stretch at all that the outward manifestation was speaking in other tongues, because that's the pattern we see over and over. And when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money, saying, give me this power also, that anyone on whom I lay hands may receive the Holy Spirit. All right, let's go to Acts 9, verse 10. Acts 9:10, it says, now there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him the Lord said in a vision, Ananias, and he said, here I am, Lord. So the Lord said to him, arise and go to the street called Straight and inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, and behold, for behold, he is praying. So you know the background. Saul was persecuting the church. He was on the road to Damascus. He saw blinding light. And Jesus spoke to him and said, why are you persecuting me? And so he can't see. And he is at this place. And so Ananias sees a vision. And the Lord tells him, go. And go to Saul of Tarsus. He's at this place. So verse 11, so the Lord said to him, arise and go to the street called Straight and inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he is praying. And in a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him so that he might receive his sight. So Saul becomes Paul later, but at this point he's Saul. Verse 17, and Ananias went his way and entered the house, and laying his hands on him, he said, notice that, Brother Paul, or Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. So when he was on the road to Damascus, he said, Lord, right after, he said, Lord, who are you? He bowed his knee. Well, here, Ananias lays his hand on him that he could receive his sight, but also that he be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now here, you don't see, it doesn't mention any immediate manifestation, but we read in 1 Corinthians, Paul said, I speak with tongues more than you all. So we know he was filled. It's not a stretch. It says he was filled with the Holy Spirit. We read the same phrase in other places. The ones we just read, we're going to read it some more. That this is the initial evidence, speaking with other tongues. Being filled with the Spirit, the initial evidence is speaking with other tongues. Acts 10, verse 44. Go ahead and turn over to Acts 10. So here, This is at Cornelius's house. So Peter goes, Cornelius was a Gentile, and Peter goes to his house to minister to him, saw a vision, went to Cornelius, and at this point, you know, the disciples didn't have a revelation yet that the gospel was for everybody. They thought it was just Jewish individuals, but Peter sees a vision, goes to Cornelius' house, and he is preaching the gospel to him and his relatives and his friends. And so he has just gone through and preaching Jesus. In verse 44 then, it says, "While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word. And those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also." Verse 46, "For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God." Then Peter answered. Can you keep going, or do you just have those two? You have it. Oh, good. It says, "Can anyone forbid water that these should not be baptized who have just received the Holy Spirit just as we have?" And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. And they asked him to stay for a few days. So then they were baptized as well. But notice verse 46, "They heard them speak with tongues and magnify God." So here, nobody prayed for them. They were just speaking the word, and the Spirit of God fell on those, and they started speaking. Let's go down to Acts 19. Acts 19, verse 1. It says, "And it happened while Apollos was at Corinth that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus. And finding some disciples, he said to them, Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?' So they said to him, 'We have not so much heard as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit.'" So see, it says, "In finding some disciples, he said to them, 'Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?'" So he found some disciples, but they hadn't heard about the Holy Spirit. Verse 3, "And he said to them, 'Into what then were you baptized?' So they said, 'Into John's baptism.'" So we had read previously in Acts 8:16, it said they had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. So here, they've believed, but they were just baptized. When they were baptized, they were baptized into John's baptism. Verse 4, "Then Paul said, 'John indeed baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus.' When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid hands on them," so they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, "then, when Paul laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied." So you see, they came and said they're disciples. They hadn't been baptized. They'd only received John's baptism. But they baptized them in the name of the Lord Jesus. And then Paul laid hands on them, and the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. They spoke with tongues and prophesied. So we can see throughout these examples, you see in Acts chapter 1, all the disciples are in the upper room. They're waiting like Jesus told them. So they received the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. In Acts 2, verse 4. Then Philip went down to Samaria, preached Christ to them. They believed. And then Peter and John went to those same people. They laid hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. So you see, in the first instance, nobody laid hands on them, but they received the Holy Spirit, and they spoke with tongues. The second instance, they were born again. Peter and John went to them. They laid hands on them, and it says they received the Holy Spirit. Now, it doesn't say they spoke in other tongues, but it says Simon saw something. Then in Acts 9 with Saul, it says Ananias laid his hands on him and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." So we know that Paul spoke with tongues because he said it. So he did have hands laid on him, and it's obvious that he spoke with tongues later. In Acts 10, nobody laid hands on them, on the Gentiles at Cornelius. Nobody laid hands on them, but then the Spirit of God came on them, and they spoke with tongues. And then in Acts 19, you had disciples that already had an experience. Then Paul laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. So you see, in the first instance, they didn't lay hands on them, but they spoke with tongues. The second instance, they laid hands on them. Simon saw something. The third instance, they laid hands on them, laid hands on Paul, and we know he spoke with tongues. In the fourth instance, nobody laid hands on him, but they spoke with tongues. And in the last instance, Paul laid hands on him, and they spoke with tongues. So there were three instances where they laid hands on them. Two they didn't. And then there were three instances where it specifically says they spoke with tongues. The other two are implied. So you don't need to have hands laid on you to receive the Holy Spirit. But in every instance, it's either directly stated or it's implied that you would speak with other tongues. And those are biblical, those are Bible accounts of being filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, if you can put up Luke 11, verse 10. Luke 11, verse 10. It says, "For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be open. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Amen. That's not, uncertain. He said, if you, being evil or natural, that implies, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Praise God. So it says that he'll give the Holy Spirit. We see how they receive the Holy Spirit.